We thank God for our music ministry and for, you can give them a hand. And for the variety musical styles presented today, I want to remind our leaders about the annual reports. They are due this week as we prepare for our annual meeting in December. And also, please note in the bulletin, we will not have prayer meeting this week or Bible study via Zoom or in person because of the holiday, and note the holiday office hours that are listed in the bulletin. Will you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11 through verse 19, from the New International Version. And the text says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then Jesus said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" The word of the Lord. This foreigner. Thank you, ushers. When I revisited this text a couple of weeks ago, two words gripped my spirit. They are the words of Jesus, because Jesus in the passage refers to the man who came back to him as this foreigner. And at first I thought, is Jesus using this phrase in a pejorative sense? Is he using a label to identify the man? I realized that Jesus is part of a social system that is label driven. But as I read over the story and thought about it, I realized that I cannot view the story through a negative label-driven lens, because there's so much in the story that counters the notion that Jesus is motivated by social labels. And I'm happy to say that for the most part, being a foreigner is not an issue in this story, at least not the primary issue. Being different is not the primary issue in this story. Being an outcast is not the primary issue in this story. Because the story as a whole teaches that God's gifts of grace and mercy are available to everybody. Luke tells us about 10 men with leprosy. And Luke doesn't call them lepers. He says they are men with leprosy because he understands the dignity of persons and respects their humanity. He knows that their condition is not who they are. Right? At least one of the men is a Samaritan. And all 10 men cry out to Jesus for mercy. And these men who have leprosy follow the social restrictions of their day. They live together in a separate group. That's why they are gathered outside of town. They avoid contact with persons who do not have leprosy. And they gather close to the entrance of the town, hoping to receive charity from others. And all 10 men see Jesus. And when they see him, they cry out for mercy. I tell you, that isn't on my paper. But when you see him, make the connection. And Jesus sees them. He sees them. And that's important because Jesus sees their condition and he responds to their condition. I tell you, it's good to know Jesus. It's even better that Jesus knows us. It's good to see Jesus. It's even better that Jesus sees us. And Jesus sees them and responds by telling them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, that might sound like, you know, a simple command. Go and show yourselves to the priest. But in saying that, Jesus puts forth two important principles. And one is the principle of obedience. Because they can choose whether to obey what Jesus tells them to do. They cried out for mercy, and Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. The principle of obedience comes to the forefront. And then second, the principle of faith. Because they must choose before they are healed that the trip to the priest will be worthwhile. Isn't that something? Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. They could have said, we're not going. Lay your hand on us and heal us. They could have said, why go to the priest when we still are afflicted with leprosy? So he puts two principles, the principle of obedience and the principle of faith. And all 10 men choose obedience and faith. That is why they are healed, because they decide to respond in obedience and faith. And I like that because there's no distinction as it relates to the healing. There's no gradation of healing. Some are partially healed, some are fully healed. No gradation of healing. They all are told to go to the priest, Gentile and Jew, and all 10 are healed. This isn't on my paper, but that's instructive. God works with Gentiles and Jews, Israelis and Palestinians. Help me, somebody. No, Jesus doesn't discriminate. God's gifts of grace and mercy are available to all. There is something powerful that takes place in this story beyond the healing. Because one of the men, a Samaritan, whom Jesus calls this foreigner, leaves the other men and returns to Jesus. There's something powerful about his actions. Let's look at it more closely. One thing I think that the man demonstrates is what I call the principle of recognition. Because the text says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Principle of recognition. The man gets healed and recognizes the work of God in his life. He acknowledges what has just occurred. And this man is a Samaritan. He's a member of a mixed breed of ethnic outsiders. And as an outsider, this man is least likely to honor a Jew. But he recognizes what has occurred and turns back to Jesus. So recognition interrupts his trip to the priests. This man feels that it is important enough to acknowledge what has transpired. Something has happened. An exchange of power has occurred. And he recognizes it. So coming back to Jesus is critical. Some folks get things and don't come back. Sometimes folks get blessed and there is no acknowledgement. Sometimes God answers our prayers and there is no recognition from us. God, this isn't on my paper. God answers our prayer on Thursday and we're too busy enjoying the blessing to show up on Sunday. No recognition. But this man demonstrates the important principle of recognition. He wants Jesus to know that he knows that he has received a blessing from God. Powerful principle. When our children were young, my wife and I wanted to teach them the principles of being polite and being grateful for the things they receive. And whenever they would ask for something, and it was something that we had to hand to them, we did not release our end of it until they said, thank you. And if they stood there looking at us stumped as if, what? We would say to them, don't you want to say something? They would say, okay, thank you. We wouldn't let them get away with receiving stuff. And I'm not just talking about presents. I'm talking about anything. If we handed them a plate for dinner, if we gave them something to put on, we wouldn't let them get away with receiving stuff and not acknowledging what they received. Thanksgiving is about recognition. It's about acknowledging our blessings. And it's about acknowledging the source of our blessings. Too often we are so busy enjoying what God has given us that we don't have any time to recognize the blessing comes from God. But this foreigner turns back and recognizes the source of his blessing. But there's another principle, not only recognition, but he also demonstrates the principle of gratitude. Because the text again says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. The man not only comes back, but how he comes back is instructive for us. Because he comes with praise on his lips. He comes praising God. Look at this. We can assume that most of the other men are Jews, the other nine. They know about God's work. They know about the principles of faith. But here is a Samaritan who models the correct faith response. He praises God. And then he doesn't stop there. He goes beyond praise to gratitude and worship. He prostrates himself in front of this Jewish leader. He assumes the posture of obeisance. He throws himself down at Jesus' feet and worships him with gratitude. Coming from a foreigner, this is powerful. The Samaritans are not expected to honor a Jew, but gratitude will upend social conventions. This man is grateful. He knows what it's like to be an outcast. In fact, this man is a double outcast. He's of mixed blood and he has leprosy. He's a double outcast, and African American women and women experience double and triple problems for being a woman, for being a white woman, for being an African American woman, all that kind of stuff. You get all kinds of problems. This man is a double outcast. And no doubt he has experienced ostracism on more than one front. But he's grateful. And when you're grateful, you respond with gratitude. When you're grateful, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what the other person looks like. If the person has done something for you, you respond with gratitude. Thanksgiving is about gratitude. It's about our appreciation for all that God has provided. And Thanksgiving ought to engender thanks and worship. You see, it's not just a day. For people who don't know God, it's just a day. But for people of faith, Thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is a response. And it's a response that you can give on Monday. You can give it on Tuesday. You can give it on Wednesday. It doesn't have to be Thursday. And you don't need a turkey to respond. All you need is to think about the goodness of God. And when you think about the goodness of God, gratitude pours out of your heart. This foreigner models gratitude. None of the Jewish men model gratitude. Only this foreigner shows what it means to be thankful. There's some folk not in here without these garments on who know how to thank God. There's some folk not in here who know how to say thank you. This man is not a Jew, but he shows gratitude. I saw a story about a woman in Philadelphia who grew up poor. She was able to get a good education and to get a good job. And when she got enough money, she decided to take all her resources and open a shelter in her old neighborhood to provide food, clothing, and a place to stay for persons without resources. This was a woman in her 30s. And when she was interviewed about it, they featured it on the news in Philadelphia. She said, "When I think about my childhood, all I remember is being cold and being hungry." And she said, "I'm so grateful that God has blessed me and gotten me out of that situation, that I was determined to work so no child would feel cold and go hungry." And she said, that's why I have this shelter. I don't want a child to grow up like I grew up, feeling cold all the time and feeling hungry, worrying about the next meal. Her gratitude led to action. It went beyond her recognition, and she does something to show appreciation. So the principle of recognition, you better recognize. And the principle of gratitude. And then there's one other thing in the story. The man experiences what I would call the principle of more grace. Because Jesus asked him, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now this man doesn't come back for something additional. He doesn't come back to Jesus with a laundry list of more things to do. You know, you got some folks like that. They won't say thank you for what you did already. And then they have the temerity to bring their behinds back to you for more without saying thank you for what you did. Come on, somebody. This man doesn't come back with a laundry list. He comes back because he recognizes what God has done and he is grateful for the healing. And Luke doesn't tell us why the other 9 men do not return. Perhaps they are following Jesus' instructions. After all, Jesus did tell them to go to the priest. So perhaps they don't think it's important to turn back and say anything to Jesus. You know, some folks are like that. You say to them, oh, don't worry about it. And they don't worry about it. You say, oh, you don't have to do anything. But they say, okay, I'm not going to do anything. One of the lessons is not all, this is from a scholar, who are helped by Jesus come to faith and return with gratitude. Some folks are too busy enjoying the restored life to come back and show gratitude to Jesus. So they get their blessing and they are on their way. I got a new car. I got a new house. Oh, I won the lottery. How many of you won the lottery? Raise your hand. Show your hand. Touch a neighbor and say, I won the lottery. We ain't going to tell that, right? They're too busy enjoying all of the blessings of the restored life. They're having a good time to come back and say anything to Jesus. Some people never come back, I said earlier. But Jesus asked about the 9. He asked these 3 questions. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Has no one returned to praise God except this foreigner? And that Jesus asked these questions suggests a level of expectation. That Jesus expects that someone should show some sign of praise and glory to God, especially those Jews who were also healed. And so he says something powerful to this man. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, when he says that, that's not a declaration of healing, because the man has already been healed. That's a further declaration of status. Because Jesus, when he says, your faith has made you well, well isn't the right word for what he's saying. A better rendering is, your faith has saved you. that your faith has gotten you more grace and brought you into the family of God. In other words, the other nine men just got healed and they went on about their business. But because you came back and demonstrated your gratitude, you get something extra. You get salvation. You become a part of God's family. And I like that because it says that gratitude leads to more grace. The man's actions open the door to more blessings. And there's a principle here. When we respond with praise and gratitude to God for our blessings, God opens the door to more blessings. And then we come in the church saying, "He keeps on. He keeps on blessing me." Over and over again, every time I turn around, another blessing comes down the pike because gratitude leads to more blessings. And if you don't think that gratitude begets more gratitude, then this Thanksgiving, this Thursday, wherever you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, do an experiment. And whether it's the mother who cooks, or the grandmother who cooks, or the aunt or the sister, or a man who cooks the meal. When you get ready to eat and show up for the meal, praise somebody else for the meal. You know, in many families, you got women who do the cooking and cleaning and do the work. And then you got women who sit around looking pretty on the sofa waiting for it to get done. They don't do anything. Well, find the woman sitting on the sofa and tell her thank you for the meal that has been prepared and see how that works for you. Or just ignore the person who did all the work. Show up, don't say anything. And see how that works for you. And then when you get through giving gratitude to the wrong person, go up to the real cook and ask for seconds. And see what the real cook says to you. Because the real cook say, go back in that other room and ask that one that you said thank you to for the meal. There are some folks who receive things from us and never say thank you. They act as if you had to do it. Ooh, I can't stand that. When you do something for somebody and then you say, well, you didn't say anything. Yeah, well, I didn't ask you to do it. Woo! What are you saying in your spirit? You say, okay, I'm going to note that and I won't do it again. Some people never say thank you. We always appreciate the persons who show gratitude no matter what they receive. There's some people who are just sweet. The little things you do for them, they get excited about it. It doesn't have to be something special or a special day. They just appreciate all the things that somebody does for them. And usually those are the people who get more blessings. Because folk don't mind helping somebody out when they show gratitude and appreciation. I'm almost done. This sermon, as I said, is really not about the fact that this man is a foreigner. But that is his particularity. He is a Samaritan. He is an outcast. The message is about how this man responds when he is blessed. And without any previous experience with God, this man becomes a model of faith. So Luke does something radical. He highlights a non-Jew as a model for how people should respond to the blessings of God. Don't miss that. That's important. And this man doesn't do some big thing. He simply turns back and praises God, he stops right where he is and turns to praise God. There's a lesson, beloved. Whenever God blesses you, wherever the blessing occurs, that's when and that's where the praise should begin. And so if you're at the doctor's office and the doctor says all the tests have come back negative and there's nothing wrong, you don't wait till Sunday morning to come and say, I'm going to praise the Lord. You thank him right there, right then and there. Say, thank you, Jesus. Let your doctor know that you know another doctor. He's got healing in his garment. This man recognizes the work of Jesus. He thanks Jesus for the healing. And beloved, we ought to thank God for what God has done. We were wrestling in our Sunday school. This isn't on my paper, but I was glad I was in the Sunday school. We were wrestling with, you know, whether it's our action or it's God's action. And whether we should take the credit or God should take the credit. Listen, God is the first actor. There are no actions until God occurred and acted. And so every other action is a derivative action. And so if you're able to drive your car, if you're able to work your job, if you're able to cook your meal, that's because God acted, gave you life, gave you health, put breath in your body. You still owe God a debt of gratitude. I know what you're saying. You're saying the reason I am where I am is because I got a high score on the SAT test. And I aced the ACT test and got a scholarship to college. And I was one of the smartest students. And I got all A's in my classes. No, no, no. Because if you had not been able to breathe, nobody would take that test. God is the one who made it possible. We owe God a debt of gratitude. I got one more thing and I'm trying to get out of here. I'm through. This man made his own choice. That's what I want to end with. I like the fact that he made his own decision to turn back and express gratitude to God. He did not let the other 9 men shape his response. It's powerful because there is both a corporate component to Thanksgiving. It's corporate in the sense that we all gather somewhere. We celebrate with our family and our friends. We share a meal together. We worship together. That's the corporate component of Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is not just about what we do in groups. It's not just what we do in our families. There's a personal component to Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is about what you personally say to God. You cannot let your grandmother pray your thanksgivings or your daddy pray your thanksgiving. You've got to thank God for yourself. And if God has brought you anywhere, if God has blessed you, if God has done something for you, you ought to say something. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So you ought to give your personal thanks to God. Ah, where you eat dinner, they might not say a blessing over the meal. Where you eat dinner, they might not talk about God, but that shouldn't stop you from telling God, thank you, thank you, thank you for waking me up this morning. I'm done. I got a I'm nothing left on my paper, but something's left in my spirit. I got a new fire pit about a month ago. I had so many different fire pits. I like fires. And the fire pits would wear out. You know, you'd use them for a little while to get rusted and they'd rust out. So finally I found one that was made of heavy gauge steel. And I ordered that. It cost a little more money, but I like my fire pit. Hallelujah. And the fire pit, I've been using it. The rain has fallen and the wind has been blowing and the fire pit has gone from its original color to a rust patina. When I showed it to my wife, she said, it looks like an old piece of junk. But I don't care. It's my rusted fire pit patina because it's rusting just the way I want it to rust. It's looking just the way I want it to rust. And I know I had nothing to do with the change in the patina. I know that God has the elements of air and wind and water. And when they all converge on the steel, God works his magic and turns the rusted into the kind of patina I'm looking for. What am I trying to say? I thank God for my fire pit. I thank God for the rust on the outside. I thank God for the rust on the inside. I thank God for the ability to make a fire. I thank God for the fire. I'm able to look at it. I thank God for it. And so it doesn't matter what God has given you. Thank him for it. Don't just thank him for your health. Don't just thank him for your strength. Thank him for your false teeth. That came from God. Thank him for the food on your table. Thank him for being in your right mind. Thank him for getting up in the morning with no aches and pains. Thank him for grace to see a new day. Thank him for what he's done for you. Because your personal thanks is what God is looking for. I'm through. I want to invite those who are listening virtually and those who are here to think about your life and all that God has done for you and in you and through you. And recognize it. Show gratitude. And offer thanks personally to God. The invitation is extended as our deacons and ministers and greeters come. Will you stand with me as we extend the invitation to Jesus Christ? If you're online, go to belonging at ebc3austin.org. You can receive him by faith. Has he done anything for you?
Oh, what he's done for me. Oh, what he's done for me. I never shall forget what he's done for me.
Oh, what he's done for me.
Oh, what he's done for me.
Never shall
forget what he's done.
Took my feet out the miry clay. Took my feet out the miry clay. That's what he's done
for me. Took my feet out the miry clay.
That's what he's done for me.
Took my feet out the miry clay. That's what he's done for me.
I never shall forget
what he's done.
He picked me up and turned me around. Picked me up and turned me around.
That's what he's done for me. Pick me up, turn me around, what he's done for me. Pick me up, turn me around, what he's done for me. I never shall forget.
Happy Thanksgiving, beloved. Enjoy your time with family and friends. Be safe and be thankful. Thank you, Lord.